It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running for this 11th day of December 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Yes, indeed. And when you go there, you can, among other things, click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and immediately find yourself in the happy environs of the wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. Where you will be immediately greeted by, well, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, given that he is a Space and Guild Master, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave this evening. And you'll also beg by well, you'll also be greeted by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan. They're both just sitting there waiting to keep an eye on the workings of the on the workings of the evening's conversation there in the chat room. You'll be greeted by Anatole and Hoghead and Otto and Rally and Urban Prospector and VT Blom. Yeah. All of whom would love nothing more than to introduce themselves to and interact with some brand new members of the chat room community, which is, in fact, a wild, wacky, multimedia, zany, etc. During the 3 hours in which this program is live. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and we've got some thank yous to send out at the top of the program. Oh yes. For our subscribers. Thanks go out today to S. Andrews. And thanks go out as well to Christopher, whom you've heard in the Friday on the Front Porch chat from time to time. Thank you to Libby. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thanks as well to John, to Matthew, to Mary Bell, and to Tony in Chico. Tony's been a subscriber for a very, very, very long time. Thank you, one and all. Thanks also to our buddy Brandon in Brooklyn. Thank you very kindly, Brandon, for jumping in there. And thanks to Sister Jude in Washington State. all told. Well, we would have had a $635 fundraising goal for this evening, but thanks to the fact that I was able to go to the mailbox and talk to Boss Man Wayne today, I can tell you that that number is instead, let's see. $585. Had to do some ciphering there for a second. Mm-hmm. $585 is the fundraising goal to get us even with the bring us to even with fundraising for this far along in the month of December, and keep us on track toward everything we need to do to finish the month of the month of December in the year 2018 on track and qualify for the Go Bucks Challenge and the Trash Fitz Walker Stand Challenge. So it would be, we still have a ton of bills to pay here at, moving toward the middle of the month. Two, like I said, are immediately due. And it would be great. I can't kid you. It would be great if we could take a humongous bite out of that $585. A big bite. So you know, we'll get there a few bucks at a time. But we're at a point where if we don't start knocking this down, the knocks on the mansion door here could result in there not being a program any given day. I wish it was otherwise. It isn't. So there you have it. If you want to help out, run on over to head on.live and jump into the discussion, jump into the support of this independent, liberal, progressive broadcast effort that operates on literally pennies per hour. Okey-doke. Thank you very kindly. Scott in San Diego says 5x5 as to reception. Both streams are loud and clear. Interestingly, HeadOn.live is about 30 seconds behind White Rose, and if you play both streams into one ear, it's pretty trippy. Well, I am informed by Brother Deacon Asa that both platforms are rolling merrily along. Yes. So I guess it's a question of where the servers are. It must take the packets, or maybe the latency is just set up differently. I don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So there we go. That's all the housekeeping for the beginning of the program. And look, I don't like to be predictable. Sometimes I like to start the program with things that probably nobody else is talking about. But there are other times when what everybody else is talking about is what you're going to be talking about, because what everybody else has been talking about is so damned compelling. And let's just say I got a note early today from Steve from Georgistan saying, gosh, I hope you're watching the Chuck and Nancy and President Dumbass show this morning. And I was, with my mouth hanging open and a catching of flies. This is a damned, well, let's just put it this way. What happened today in the White House, in the Oval Office there, was the damnedest thing I've seen since the preacher's daughter took me up to the choir loft to show me the Holy Ghost. It was breathtaking in its scope and in its stupid. I mean, this was it was painful to watch. I'm at a loss for words. And so this evening, today being what it was, I thought you might be interested perhaps jumping in on the conversation with regard to what happened today, or anything else that's on your mind, but this in particular, because, it just felt like one of those moments that, it won't come again, but there is a complete and absolute moron in the White House, and no one is willing to do anything about him. No one will rid us of this meddlesome moron. And so I guess this could happen again and again and again and again. Among other things, Steve in New York pointing out, Little Orange Adolf's naptime temper tantrum. You were sitting there, mouth agape? Oh, dear, dear Bob. Really? Yes, really. And in parts of it, I was driving mouth agape. Because at my age, I'm still in this place where I keep expecting to wake up and have something resembling the country that I once remembered. No matter how screwed up that country has from time to time been, we are off and gone. We are far afield from anything that we would otherwise recognize as normal in this country. And so Paul from Parts Unknown sent a question along that I think is salient to this, to all of this earlier today. But if you want to jump in and discuss what's going on here, or what's going on there in D.C., or there in the spidery, otherwise empty, cavernous confines of Julius Geezer's thin gray settlings with all the spirochetes swimming around in them, then you're more than welcome. But Paul from Parts Unknown, subject line, two questions. I have a couple of technical questions, and feel free to answer them on the air today. Question one, if Trump is impeached, I know it's impossible, but go with me on this. Assuming he doesn't go to jail, can he run and win the presidency again in 2020? Well, let's do take that in pieces. Because I used to think that, and this is no insult, I used to think that people had a pretty good handle on the impeachment process. Yes, if he is impeached by the House of Representatives and is not charged with a crime and convicted, yeah, he can run for re-election in 2020. And yes, he can win in 2020. That's the argument that I keep putting forward, that to impeach him means only that he would be charged with something, some sort of high crime or misdemeanor within the purview of the Constitution of the United States. He would merely be, the impeachment itself is merely the charge, like unto an indictment, or even a summons. Upon impeachment, precisely nothing happens to the President of the United States except that the bill of impeachment goes over to the Senate of the United States for trial. Okay? And over there, there are not any Republican senators, and certainly not enough Republican senators, to vote alongside the Democrats to remove him from office. If he's impeached and removed, he can't ever be president again. No. We can consult the Constitution for this. The president, this is the United States Constitution, Article 2, Section 4. The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Notice how it says impeachment and conviction. This is significant. Note also that no president of the United States has ever been removed from office upon conviction of impeachment. Andrew Johnson dodged that by one vote. One lonely vote. So he can't be president again if he's been impeached and convicted. The other part of that, though, Paul, is that it is highly unlikely that any impeachment proceeding could be... I'm going to take that part back. The 2020 election, and this is the bottom line for me, because there are not enough senators, because there are not going to be enough senators, enough Republican senators to join with the Democrats to remove him from office because it requires a two-thirds vote, then he will emerge from having been impeached by the House of Representatives stronger than he was going in. Because, and this is important, while Julius Geezer's numbers are in the toilet, in excess of 50% of the American people, Democrats and Republicans alike, do not want to see impeachment take place. They didn't like it when the Republicans did it to Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton emerged from impeachment with an approval rating in the 70% range, north of 70%. And there's no reason to think that this would not be the best thing that ever happened to the reelection effort of Donald Trump, to be impeached and to have the trial find him not guilty and left in office. Okay. Question two. The news today is about Trump meeting with Democratic leaders to avert a partial government shutdown. How can the Democrats block the legislation? The Republicans still control the House and Senate. Are we talking filibuster in the Senate here, or is this a bill that can be passed in the Senate by reconciliation? Does he need Democratic support because he doesn't have enough Republican support? I'm just a little confused. Thanks, Paul from Parts Unknown. Today was theater of the absurd, the likes of which I don't know if anyone alive in America has ever seen. For instance,
Let's take a look at least one story. A senator, a member of that body, namely Patrick Leahy of Vermont, who has been in the Senate since 1975, was interviewed on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda today. Interviewed by Chad Pergram. And Patrick Leahy said, "This is the only time I've seen a president say they want a government shutdown." Yesterday, in regard to the government shutdown, speaking on the floor of the Senate, Patrick Leahy described the shutdown as a cockamamie idea and accused Julius Geiser of looking for what he called a reality TV moment. In that speech from the floor, he said, "For months now, he's repeatedly called for a government shutdown unless we provide $5 billion for his boondoggle border wall. He wants to score a made-for-TV reality moment, and he doesn't care how many thousands of hardworking American men and women are going to suffer for it." And that's the bottom line. A lot of people will suffer for it. And the other bottom line is that, yes, it's a boondoggle. Among other things, Nancy Pelosi. By the way, can we now put aside all the pernicious, low-information kerfuffle babble about how Nancy Pelosi should not be Speaker of the House? She marched into that bedlam, held her own, held her ground, did not allow Julius Geiser to drag him down in the mud, drag her down in the mud with him, lectured him, and came out looking like the one real leader in the room. Chuck Schumer remains, you know, an ineffectual laughingstock. But Nancy Pelosi looked like she very much knew what she was doing. But in terms of the shutdown, Paul from Parts Unknown is absolutely correct. And Nancy Pelosi said the same thing. The Republicans have, at least until the end of this Congress, and the end of this year, the Republicans have the presidency, the House, and the Senate. In the House, there is absolutely nothing Democrats can do one way or the other because it's absolute majority rule, period. In the Senate, yeah, budget reconciliation has some impact, but there is no desire on the part of any Democrats to see the government shut down. And budget reconciliation rules are nothing if not arcane. By the way, here's another little wrinkle for us all. And that is this. One of the things that Nancy Pelosi pointed out was that of the billions of dollars that were appropriated for Homeland Security last year, the vast majority of it has not even been spent. He's howling for $5 billion when he's sitting on a billion or so right now. And again, that's because Nancy Pelosi knows how to do her job and knows what the hell she's talking about. So it really is in the Republicans, the ball really is in the Republicans' court. And the Democrats really do pretty much have their hands tied. I mean, we've seen the way, we've seen the absolutely dictatorial way in which Chinless Mitch McConnell has ruled his majority caucus in the Senate. That's one of the things that made today so damned weird. Because there was really nothing to accomplish in terms of averting a shutdown by talking to Chuck and Nancy. It was wrestling. But those two, Schumer and Pelosi, I do have enough understanding of and respect for the institutions of government that when summoned by the president, they go and found themselves in the midst of an absurdist theater piece in which he used them as foils to allow him to shriek and scream and carry on, etc., ad nauseam. Also in the room, by the way, was Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. Who looked like he might very well have been replaced by the wax dummy a few blocks away from the White House at Madame Tussaud's wax museum. Jesus, the weird. The badly weird. But they didn't get entirely run over. Take for instance this moment when he starts bragging Julius Geezer starts bragging about winning North Dakota and Indiana.
Security at the wall. Can you have?
Hold on. Here we go.
Everybody, Mr. President, you say border security and the wall. Can you have border security without the wall?
No, you need the wall. The wall is a part of border security.
What it means to have border security?
Yeah. Yes. We need border security. The wall is a part of border security. You can't have very good border security without the wall.
That's specifically not true. That is a political promise. Border security is a way to effectively honor our responsibility.
And the experts say you can do border security without a wall, which is wasteful and doesn't solve the problem.
It totally solves
but
the problem.
I don't want to take this.
And it's very important.
This has spiraled downwards when we came at a place to say, how do we meet the needs of American people who have needs? The economy has, people are losing their jobs, the market's in a mood, our members are already...
Well, we have the lowest unemployment that we've had in 50 years.
60 people of the Republican Party are losing their offices now because of the transition. People are not... The morale
and we've gained in the Senate. Nancy, we've gained in the Senate. Excuse me, did we win the Senate? We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
Let me say this.
We did win North Dakota.
This is the most unfortunate thing. We came in here in good faith, and we're entering into a discussion in the public view.
But it's not bad, Nancy.
It's
called transparency.
I know. It's not transparency when we're not stipulating to a set of facts and when we want to have a debate with you about saying we confront some of those facts.
You know what? We need border security. That's what we're going to be talking about, border security. If we don't have border security, we'll shut down the government.
And so by the time it was all said and done and the counting was over with, up to the beginning of this meeting today, Julius Geezer had called for a shutdown of the government 20 times. By the time this meeting was over, he had called for a shutdown of the government 26 times. I mean, St. Peter himself only denied Christ 3 times. 6 times he hollered that he wanted a government shutdown today. And in the long term, as far as that North Dakota and Indiana business is concerned, what he was talking about was Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Donnelly. I'm sure he would have loved to have bragged that he took West Virginia, too. But, for once, West Virginia got it right, and the other states fucked up, as I've pointed out. But if you look at it from a mathematical standpoint, which I'm not very good at, I admit, the Democrats had to defend 25 seats and lost Florida, Missouri, Indiana, and North Dakota. They carried 21 out of 25. No, it was not Judas, Randy. Randy in PA says that was Judas who denied Christ 3 times. That was Peter. That was Peter. 3 times before the cock crowed. This I know. So winning 21 out of 25 is a pretty good average. On the other hand, and this is reason for Julius Geiser to be really worried about 2020, assuming he's still president by November, the Republicans only had to defend 9 or 10, if you count Doug Jones, 10 seats, and they lost Alabama, Arizona, Nevada, and very damn nearly lost Texas. That is a 30% loss rate in states that there really shouldn't have been any challenge in whatsoever had the president not so thoroughly cast his party into hopeless disarray. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, if the U.S. government is not shut down, it means that Pootie-Poot may not be able to run roughshod over the entire world. Pay attention, Bob. I'm trying. Believe you me, I am. But this whole thing was pure madness. In regard to wax figure Pence, Scott in San Diego says, even more than a figure in Madame Tussauds' wax museum, Mike Pence is a double for the weird-looking assassin in the Da Vinci Code. Yeah, but there was something likable about the assassin in the Da Vinci Code, Scott. Meanwhile, Megan with a note says, the Nancy Chuck and Dolt 45 showdown. I was in the parking lot of a department store doing Yule shopping when I heard what went down. My jaw fell open when I heard Julius Geiser not only interrupt Nancy and Chuck several times, but when he claimed that parts of the wall were built in California, Arizona, and Texas and were working at 95% success rate on keeping illegals out. Oh, and then there's 10 terrorists that they caught, you know, in his imagination, down at the border. 10 terrorists. And they did it without their wall. Which is kind of bizarre. But Megan says, how the hell can he sit there and argue for funding a wall from Congress that's apparently already built? This man's lies and bullshit make my head hurt, and I'm so tired of being outraged and embarrassed on a daily basis. I honestly don't know what's worse. That this man achieved the highest office in the land, or that some people in this nation think he projects anything remotely resembling integrity, strength, or leadership. I don't know how we're going to dig ourselves out of this sinking hole, or what we're going to tell future generations who will look at sound bites and video clips of this man behaving like a buffoon. And I'll add editorially, wonder what in the hell we were thinking by letting him remain in the office.
Megan continues and says, what worries me more is the realization he sought this office as a malignant narcissist, and all this kerfuffle is only feeding his damaged, twisted ego. I think he's addicted now, and I worry what'll happen at the upcoming presidential election if he's not removed before 2020. What's to stop him from simply declaring himself president for life? The man has acted for 2 years like everything he farts from his mouth is law, and those who have tried to explain to him that that's not how it works are now leaving the White House. Seriously, what's to stop him from squatting in the Oval Office permanently? I'm suddenly now understanding why the French and Russian revolutions went down as they did. Well, to be fair, the French and Russian revolutions were very, very different from a structural, organizational standpoint. What we have here, and here we find ourselves falling back on the desperate hope, and that's really all we have. We have what we have before us, but we have no hard and fast answers yet. The desperate hope that Robert Mueller will develop enough evidence to seal this man's fate. And this is where we have to move a little bit slowly to make some sense out of this. Again, I reiterate, everybody on the electric TV machine says Donald Trump has been implicated in 2 felonies. No, 4. There's the commission and the conspiracy to commit, with both of the felonies to which Michael Cohen pled guilty regarding the payoffs to the women with whom he had sex, or at least tried to have sex. You know, mushrooms and Mario Kart and all of that, notwithstanding. So, if that is indeed the case, then one wonders, one cannot help but wonder, what's going through his mind. And that's where we go down the rabbit hole, because we're assuming there's a mind for something to go through. With a malignant narcissist, and I agree with the diagnosis, while also standing pat on my my assertion that he suffers from untreated tertiary neurosyphilis. He may not be able to conceive of himself going to jail, even with the doors slamming shut behind him. He may not be able to conceive that. But there is no way around the fact that the minute he is a private citizen again, he is subject to prosecution. And if, as we fondly hope, and some of us firmly believe, Robert Mueller is developing multiple cases against the chlamydia Claudius, then that is a whole raft of crimes for which he would be facing criminal liability. And if Mueller's developing them at the same time that the Southern District of New York is, that's multiple crimes in multiple fora. It's sort of like what Paul Manafort dealt with when he was tried in Northern Virginia and then he had to go across the river and was facing trial in D.C. This would most likely be trials in D.C. followed by trials in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan. And that man is despised in New York. Good luck getting a jury in New York that could be impartial to him. Because in his hometown, there ain't just a hell of a lot of love for him. So whether it be January the 20th, 2021, if he loses, or January the 20th, 2025, if he wins,
He is indictable the instant he is no longer president. And if he loses in 2020, the guy who replaces him is not going to pardon him. Or woman who replaces him is not going to pardon him. If he wins, he cannot pardon himself. And the walls will only continue to further close in. This points to a resignation sometime prior to January the 20th, 2021, which in about another month and 9 days will be precisely 2 years away. Let's see here. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. The friggin' wall. The Oompa Loompa in chief said he just wanted the wall because of how great the walls work in Israel. Jared, on a clip on Sam Cedar's show, talked about the great deal he was making to bring about an Israeli-Palestinian peace. Since Israel's been chopping up the West Bank, there cannot physically be a two-state solution. You remember the shit show last time Israel tried to expel West Bank settlers. The House of Grifters is really screwing this country up to a point where it can't be repaired. And I suspect that that is indeed, that may not just be the natural outgrowth of what's happening. That may be deliberate. Remember, there are still probably phone calls going on with Steve Bannon, and Bannon's favorite word is chaos. Steve in New York, the wormhole that opened up into the Twilight Zone in the White House today. You think this may finally get the cabinet talking about the 25th Amendment seriously? I wondered that myself, Steve. On another note, every time he mentions the wall, the Democrats need to ask what happened to Mexico paying for it. And, of course, that was mentioned outside the office out after the kerfuffle today. The mention was made of the fact that, well, you know, he said Mexico was going to pay for it. And, in fact, apparently off camera, he explained to Chuck and Nancy that there was a provision in the new NAFTA for Mexico to pay for the wall. This is, of course, a complete and utter lie. Like I said, this was more bizarre than a goat rodeo. I mean, a goat rodeo, dinner on the ground. What was that list that Slim Pickens used in Doctor Strangelove? Yeah. But if things continue to develop apace, he does not dare roll the dice on a presidential run in 2020. He absolutely must have a pardon from Mike Pencilneck Geek. And that may be part of why he's been running around the White House pretty much sockless, for all we know, muttering at the paintings on the wall, asking, do you think I can trust Mike Pence? Do you think I can trust Mike Pence? Because since he is a grifter, and since he is a sociopath, one of the things that goes with sociopathy is the assumption that everybody else is just like you. And so and Donald Trump has done nothing but betray people who have put their trust in him. All his miserable, misbegotten, best part of him ran down his mama's leg life. And so he's worried that if he did resign, that Mike Pence might not follow through on the deal. And I guess even if you go back in American history, even Richard Nixon must have worried a little bit up until the moment when Gerald Ford actually signed off on the pardon. Because it's that important. The one difference between Nixon at present, if nothing else changes, the one thing that's different between the Nixon scenario and the Trump scenario is that in the case of Trump, he still has his original vice president. If Mueller takes out Pence for some level of criminal culpability, remember, Manafort chose Mike Pence. And remember, there is dirty Russian money flowing all over the Republican Party through the conduit that used to be referred to as the National Rifle Association, but is now the National Ruble Association. If Pence go, and no, this is not going to wind up in that Tom Hartman scenario where Nancy Pelosi names Hillary Clinton to be her vice president, and then Nancy Pelosi resigns, gives up on public life, making it finally Hillary's turn. That's so cockamamie. There's that word. I find myself wondering what sort of fake weed somebody might be smocking. But there are a lot of chess moves remaining on the board. Ah, well, okay, that's a damn good note. That's a damn good observation, courtesy of Les. Fuhrer Drumpf wants a government shutdown to defund and slow down the Mueller investigation. Well, that's an interesting thought indeed. But in the midst of all this, I kind of have to come back to the plea agreement that Maria Butina has apparently reached with the government. At first, she was innocent as pure as the driven slush. And then suddenly she realized that she might like to plead guilty after all. Give her handlers in Russia an opportunity to forget about her for a little bit and go and spend a little Fed time in the federal stir. And again, hope that people somehow manage to, you know, forget she's there. You know, people will talk a little bit like this, so that maybe perhaps she does not find herself being shielded from rain by polonium-tipped umbrella. Yeah? Yeah. And here's the deal. Apparently, if she sings like a bird, if she sings like an operatic canary, she can be allowed to stay in the United States once her sentence is complete. Because I think there are two people out there who are scared witless of what might happen to them if they were simply out and about and at their leisure. And that's Paul Manafort and Maria Butina. because it would be real easy for either one of them to get dead in a hurry from the people over in Mother Russia that they have pissed off. And if Maria Butina starts talking, then as the young hip kids say, shit might get real in a real hurry. And they might start getting real for people who received some of those breathtaking amounts of money that Mother Russia pumped through the National Ruble Association as its own little personal sort of gumball machine. And then you might see some interesting changes of heart over in the Senate. There's a reason chinless Mitch McConnell behaves the way he is. I've taken to referring to him as un-American lately, because I think he's up to his ass in Russian money, much of it funneled to him via the National Ruble Association. Lindsey Graham, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eaten future king of America. It's worth pondering. What's this? Okay, thank you, Ron and Raleigh, the research department. Slim Pickens said, I've been to one World's Fair, a picnic, and a rodeo, and that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I loved Slim Pickens, says Ron. Thank you, Ron. It's exactly what we needed. Lee in New York, on the other hand. Bob, stop telling people not to smock. Smoking guns are enshrined in the Smekund Amendment. The Smegma Amendment? L. But, yes. Meanwhile, and this is a little disturbing to me, as Scott points out, Roger Stone has declared a coup by Mike Pence was averted by Nick Ayers' refusal of the chief of staff job. That's the one thing about the whole Nick Ayers adventure that I've kept wondering. Did anybody not notice that he was Pence's chief of staff? Hell, Pence could come into the presidency and not even have to get a new chief of staff. He'd have his old one sitting right there. I hate it when I find myself thinking like Roger Stone. Makes me want to go out and I don't know, wash my brain out with LSD or something. Ew. Hey, at 6 minutes before the hour, good news. We've finally gotten started on fundraising for this evening. Thank you to Jack in Shreveport for getting us started. That is tremendous. We are now down to $560 to go on the evening, if my in-the-head gazintas and stuff are right. $560 to go. Thank you very, very kindly, Jack. I cannot thank you enough. That's tremendous of you. So can we give Jack some company? Can we knock out one whole night of fundraising this evening? $175 more dollars does that. Please. I hate sweating the idea that there might not be a. But a long time ago, a dear friend of the program used to call and say, "Look, one of these days, we're gonna go to turn on the program, and it ain't gonna be there, and it ain't gonna be Bob's fault. It's just gonna be a matter of the money wasn't there and couldn't pay the bills." And I think of Kate a lot. So hopefully Jack will get some company. Thank you again, Jack. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, as David in South Carolina Stan points out,
Big Bad Vladdy Daddy has issued a statement. Putin says, nobody in Russian intelligence has ever heard of Ms. Butina, and nobody knows her or who she is. It's straight facts, of course, says David.
Yeah, we do not know. So, you know, if she happens to die of some sort of strange radiation poisoning or odd other kind of poison, it will not be us. It will probably be someone we did not know who did not know her that we did not know as well. So, you understand these things.
Hey, you know, I noticed that, too. Otto points out, it's rumored that Trump liked Nick Ayers since the guy looks like the Julius Geezer of, say, his 30s. Oh, I've seen a couple of pictures, and there are people who might describe Nick Ayers as downright purdy. Shorty got a purdy mouth. Mm-hmm. But he's humiliated, and all of a sudden, finally, he thought he had Nick Ayers on board, and so he went ahead and canned John Kelly, and John Kelly went, okay, goodbye. And then Nick Ayers didn't take the job. Okay, let's engage in some rank speculation. Was it a little too obvious if Nick Ayers took the job? Wouldn't it be a lot more fun for Nick Ayers to just come back and be White House Chief of Staff after Julius Geezer's gone? You know, in the days of the Roman emperors, they kind of had a sense of when shit was going sideways. I mean, Claudius, according at least to Suetonius, was found hiding behind a curtain after the Praetorian cohort played pin the dagger on the emperor with Caligula. He knew something was coming, and he was trying to hide because he didn't want to be next. Turned out to be a pretty damn good emperor, though. The only one who didn't suspect was Caligula, who had declared himself a living god, and according to some rumors, made his horse a member of the Senate because he was woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. Yeah, nuts. Oh, well, thank you. Note coming from Steve in Georgistan. Little Cletus went out in the yard and found some bones. She wants to help out. Aw, thank you. Little Cletus is such a good puppy. She's a good girl. She's such a baby. And so we are now down to 550 to go. Thank you very, very, very kindly. Wait a minute. Wait. Yep, 550. Just check. I have to check my math because I don't trust myself. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, little Cletus. Thank you, Miss Karen. Thank you very much indeed. So now we've got Steve and we've got Jack out there, and let's see if anybody else wants to play. And we'll make some hopefully make some progress that way. In the meantime. Oh, wait, we've got a challenge. Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene of Rocks from Rhode Island. Remember Tracy and the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society? Charlene jumped in, $50 challenge. Met tonight, I'll add 25 bucks more. That would take us down to, that would take us down to 450 to go. And that would be a big start. That would go a long way toward getting us to at least finish off one night of fundraising. Thank you, Charlene. You are amazing. You're wonderful. Thank you very, very kindly. So there's a $25 challenge on the table waiting for Charlene to fill it. Thank you, Charlene. Let's run over to the phones. Like I said, I figured somebody would probably want to talk about this madness today. And madness it is. And hey, Todd.
Bob, are you there?
I'm here. You there?
Oh boy.
I'm just going to say this right off the bat. You know, you and Steve from Georgistan are the official Washington Journal team, and y'all have to watch tomorrow because I got a feeling it's going to be 17 shades of nuts.
I hope. I don't know. You know, you're pulling me a trip, but yes. Let me keep it simple. Yes. You know, I'd like to make a statement about Washington Journal too. I wish I could get in there, but the Borg folk, the trumpeteers, the maggots, they're so far gone that they accuse Washington Journal of leaning left, but because they speak. You know, they just present facts, and they give a – they even use Breitbart sometimes as a resource.
Oh, I know, and that shit makes me eat dirt and run rabbits.
Right. And they must have read my mind because – that's terrible. I shouldn't say it like that. But I really was about to email them the last time I saw it. Them use Breitbart, but that was when they still used to use Kimberly Atkinson or Atkins. She's on MSNBC sometimes, now on NPR sometimes, if you know what I'm talking about.
I think I do, yeah.
Not hard to look at, black woman, and they ran her off of C-SPAN. Either she was asked to leave because it wasn't a good fit, because the maggots were hounding her. They were saying terrible things to her on air. And Steve knows what I'm talking about. It wasn't a mess. But, okay, so you know why I called, obviously. And let me say this.
You wanted to talk barbecue?
Well, I would love to. After I purge myself, yes. But yeah, I would like to, because I have been talking with people lately, man. This guy down the street, and he's got a new grill. He was making lamb on his grill the other day. Honest to God.
Whoa.
And, you know, so they're building new houses up and down the street. I don't know what's going on. But listen, you know, when you talked about Boutine or Boutin or however her name, I guess it's Boutin. How is her name pronounced? Because I've never heard her say it.
I would say Boutina.
Butina. Like Putin, but Butina.
Maria Butina. Because it does not quite have the same cachet if you say Maria Butina.
She got that Butina up there. You know why they call it Butina, right? No, let me stop. Okay. So, look, she, I don't know if you remember this, but during the Helsinki meeting, that made up meeting in Helsinki, when Putin was asked by Jeff something or another from the Atlantic, did you want Trump to win and did you help him? And he said, da, you know, yes. And that was, he actually, after that, he was willing to trade Butina for someone else, which is to me, that's a dead giveaway. Is he's a sensitive asset. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I completely do.
And the media just let a whole lot go from after the Helsinki. Because I watched that shit on C-SPAN. I watched it for myself. And the only person who wrote about it was that Jeff person. And, you know, he came to a different conclusion than I did. But I watched the same thing. I was like, oh, my God. Putin is so hubristic. He's saying, okay, yeah, I wanted him to win. And yeah, I helped him. And there's nothing you can do about it. We have him. That's what he was saying. We have him. We have Trump. There's nothing you can do about it. So, that's the way. I hate to sound so bellicose, but, I mean, come on. If we can't get excited about this, you can't get excited about anything, I guess. So let's go back.
Before we leave this one, just one little observation. Mm-hmm. The more that a former lieutenant colonel in the KGB says... Maria Butina, never, what, red hair, about 5'6" tall, pretty when she's all nice and made up, likes guns a lot. Yeah, never heard of her. Then you know that they're oh, shit. And so they're trying to figure out whether they need to rub her out or try to extricate her, and hence the possibility that she may do time and get to stay in the United States and go into hiding.
Oh, my God. Bob, thank you so much for taking me back there, because I was about to get off this subject, and it was one of – yes, yes. I said yes, yes, yes. Da, da, da. Now, right. See, you know what? This she could be the linchpin. She could be. Do you remember how we were always talking about, like, why in the fuck do we have a group? I would say it's seven or more senators that went to Russia during the 4th of July time, when they should be home grilling bratwurst and drinking beer like normal people. Now, who the fuck goes to Russia during the 4th of July? Come on. See, she holds the key maybe to some of this money. But remember, it was like a multi-pronged approach. But, you know, she could. Now, I know this is parlor game stuff, but there's that woman. I mean, my God. I mean, she was willing to sleep with someone, and that's a real spy.
Okay, you know now they have the government did back off, and they took some shit from the federal judge for this, but they said they had misinterpreted her text messages in which they claimed she was offering to have sex with people in exchange for political influence.
No, fuck that. She was living with the guy. Excuse me.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it, very true.
Come on. What 40-some, almost 50-year-old man, you going to have a woman in your house? You're not going to push up. Come on. You know, if he did and she didn't want it, pardon?
There we go, yeah.
I mean, did you drop out?
No, I'm right here. David in South Carolina just pointed out, subject line, Butina, and if she goes into hiding, she can definitely defend herself with a gun. No joke.
Maybe the Russian poison factories, they're ramping up production. I think they have more utility for their product. Because you got a lot of people on the list now, looks like to me, that Russia's looking at poison. Because you hit, man, I want other people to call in, because I know everybody was talking
about
that.
Okay, can I give you a creepy moment?
What?
So we were just now talking about Maria Butina, and the guy that she, one of the people, the boyfriend that she might be rolling on, is in South Dakota, or he's from South Dakota. Well, earlier this afternoon, a lot of the times I keep my ringer off. I forget to turn it back on after the program. And I look down and I don't have anybody in South Dakota to be getting calls from. But, you know, there it was.
Damn. Man, who knows? That's a little strange. I mean, that's not a very populous place, I wouldn't think. I don't think so. No. South Dakota's huge and not that populous.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it was a credit card solicitation or something. Those silly people. But you know, who knows? But I just wanted to interject that, because they're just these weird little moments in my existence.
Man, maybe we're talking about her too much. I don't trust them. I gotta watch what I drink now.
Well, just stay away from Russians with umbrellas.
Oh, yeah. So, right. Because back to the corruption, you know, now that we look back, it's a whole lot of, there are a plethora of questions. Why was Jared Kushner looking for an unsecured, what they call a back channel, to Russia before the inauguration?
God, I'd almost forgotten about that.
Why are all these senators? Why did Mitch McConnell not agree with Obama to say, okay, we can go forward with this together, and then it won't look so bad, you know, that Russia's interfering, you know, now. And they were all, come on, Mitch McConnell had...
Because McConnell's on the fucking take!
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying. See, this thing is huge. See, this is disruptive to our government in all sorts of ways.
So it has been it has been an orchestrated, organized, broad scope, broad spectrum assault on the government of the United States. And remember me, the peace guy, the we don't do war, I don't like war guy, that me, him? Yeah, I'm not saying let's start shooting at anybody, but it's, can you imagine, because, you know, we just passed the anniversary on, what, Friday? Can you imagine if December 7th, 1941 were to have happened on, say, December 7th, 2018? Fully 35% of this country would have been shrieking false flag as the Zeros and the Kates and the Bettys zoomed over Ford Field and bombed, you know, bombed the ships in the harbor. That's where we are, Todd. I mean, I'm not barking at you. You know that.
No, I know, and I know you apologize, and I often forget to do that when I speak up with the wrong pronouns and I yell. So I appreciate that. Yes, that's why you're a host. Yes, so right, and you know what? If these folks were more well read, they would understand that it wasn't just us. That's what happened with Brexit. They were, you know, the proletariat folks were snookered in Britain.
Too. Yeah, that's one of the things that I can't understand is that. I mean, okay, so, okay, let's go there for a minute. Brexit.
See? I got so much tangent.
You did. You're good at that. You're good at it. Yeah, and you think you're not a host. That was a great segue, man. But they know in Britain what we know here. They know that Nigel Farage and the UKIP assholes and the Leave bunch had a bunch of Russian influence behind him, Cambridge Analytica, all of that shit, and so in fact, Chris from Germany and I were talking about this when we were down at the Molloy shindig.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not re-vote that and do everything you can this time through to protect the integrity of the election process? And Chris pointed out,
God,
well,
that sounds beautiful.
Well, but Chris pointed out, it's possible you could get something worse.
Did you hear the Parliament laugh at Theresa May when she said, I heard you people, I heard your discussion, I heard what you, did you hear that? And they laughed at her. They laughed. Well, they always laugh, but not, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I do. And then there was the dude who came up and picked up the mace and walked off. He was he was expelled from the House of Commons for the day.
Oh man, that's a big fuck. That's a very
No. Don't touch the mace.
Don't touch the mace.
No one shall touch. No one touches the mace except the highness.
He was a buzz about that. I can't. You know what? I should probably read the Guardian tonight or the Daily. I don't know if Daily Mail had. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please finish. I'm sorry.
No. I guess they're not going to have a do-over. But then on the issue of do-overs, there's North Carolina, where there's talk of re-voting, perhaps somehow, re-voting that race that Mark Harris won. If you find out the guy who won it won by cheating and broke the law, then shouldn't the guy he beat just get the job? Because he would have won otherwise, but for the cheating.
You know, it's interesting. Now we have that on a state scale and a national scale and a federal scale. You see, I mean, we can't really do that. So that's a dumb analogy. But you know. Honestly, God, I remember we talked about that before. But yeah, I mean, even when you have it's never going to be the same. That's right.
And so in one instance, in the North Carolina instance, a do-over, a mulligan makes no sense because you're still letting the fucking crook participate.
Right.
But on the other hand, a do-over in somewhere like the UK makes a boatload of sense.
Mm-hmm.
because it was dumb, because it was dummied up, external ill-willed propaganda played a big role in the outcome. And that's not speculative anymore. That's not theoretical.
No, it's not. It's not at all. The next 2 weeks, and less than 2 weeks, I say 10 days, the next 10 days in the UK are going to be very interesting. Very. Because Theresa May is powerless at this point. I mean, she keeps moving forward, but, you know, come on.
Oh, but my God, what's his name? Andy Serkis is, you know, remember who played Gollum?
Yeah.
Did you see his video of him as Theresa May?
No, I have not.
And the Brexit agreement that she thinks is the bee's knees. Oh, hold on here. Hold on.
God, I heard it. No, I didn't see the video, but I heard the verbiage. Yes. Yeah. That shit was funny.
Let's see here.
You have it.
Yeah, I've got it here, I think.
You know you have it. You know you have it in folder. You know you're organized. You know you have a folder.
No, I'm not organized at all. I'm strictly on the fly. Here we go.
Prime Minister, you wanted a copy of your withdrawal agreement.
And I'll interrupt just long enough to say that they did a drop dead fantastic job turning Andy Serkis into Theresa May, and that Gollum voice coming out of her face.
Oh boy!
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. Back to
I have to pull that up on YouTube. I have to pull that up.
Oh dear. Yes. We take back control. Money, borders, laws, blue passports. No, it hurts the people. It makes them poorer. But I finds it and negotiates it. We want it. We has to do it. Okay. We ask the people if they want it, and then no, stupid tricksy remainers, they ruins it. But if the people want something else, they first. This is the only deal, juicy and sweet. We want it. We need it. We will have it. But they told us, precious, they hate the deal. All of them hates it. They want a people's vote. People's vote! They steal it from us. Curse them, we hate them. But the peoples are our friends. You don't have any friends. This is the deal. It's mine. My own.
I told you it was something.
It's precious.
And it ends with a black screen and white letters. The people's vote. We wants it.
Oh, God. You know, what were they thinking? I mean, even just on the face of it, it just didn't look right. And like they're talking about now. What are you going to do about Northern Ireland? I mean, how can you do that and you hadn't even figured out your own backyard yet? And there's a lot, you know, come on, Ireland's happening. There's a lot going on in Ireland. You know, so these folks, because they don't read, you know, they don't listen to BBC, they don't read The Guardian, they don't read Al Haaretz, you know, in Israel, they're just uninformed and happy being stupid. But when you're a fascist, it's easy. All you do is do whatever they tell you.
Do what they tell you, keep your head down, and hope they come for somebody else.
It's simple. It's a simple life. It's simple folk. You know? I mean, we should have put our foot down when they started talking about people being too professorial. You know? What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Anybody can curse. You know? Like today. All right. So segue to this fiasco in the Oval Office. I just happened to hear it. I wasn't even looking for that. I mean, I read it in the paper that we're supposed to meet. I had no idea. See, I'm going to tell you something. I have seen more dignity in a corner bar in Kensington, which is the Badlands of Philadelphia. I have seen more dignity in a fucking corner bar where you can buy a shot out of a dirty glass, like cowboy style, and watch a motherfucker shoot up. Like, right in the fucking bar.
Wow.
You know? Oh, man. That's the best heroin in the country.
Oh, by the way, real quick, you mentioned, you know, the idea that intellect is bad. I will commend to you, if you have not read it before, the 1964 classic Anti-Intellectualism in American Life by Richard Hofstadter. Dr. Bill talks about it all the time. And, again, 1964.
64?
1964.
Holy cow, I have to read that.
And he was
way ahead.
And Richard Hofstadter was identifying it, not looking forward, but looking back. And it only gets worse.
Mm-hmm. See, you laugh at me when I talk about the E word, empiricism, and I get all excited. But I mean, I spent tens of thousands of dollars and countless hours learning to appreciate that.
Hey, I'm not laughing. Empirical data is the best data.
You know, people sometimes think I'm a joke because of the way I talk sometimes, but, you know, I feel like I should be free to talk the way I want to. I'm not on the clock right now.
Nobody. I don't know who's laughing at you here. Nobody that I know of.
Okay.
You're taking deadly in earnest here. I know I do.
Being, you know, yeah, well... You know, there was more I've seen more dignity in neighborhood corner barrooms where, you know, open air things are happening than I saw in the Oval Office. And you see, I think this is a really, really good insight to what right now we're dealing, who the real president is, in that he's dealing with the closest things he has to peers right now in a debate, in a free-form debate with no script, thinking on his feet. Now, he's supposed to be the deal maker, and he is no deal maker. I mean, that's my assessment, because...
I heard a reference earlier today of, well, two old-school New York deal makers are going to sit down in the Oval Office today, Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer. And I'm like, really? That's your lead. That's what you got for this. And meanwhile, the real grown-up in the room was Nancy Pelosi. One presidential person in the room, and that was Nancy Pelosi.
She was, and I'm gonna tell you, I was disappointed with Mr. Schumer, because, you know, he got in the dirt with Donald Trump, and he sounded like a petulant child, like Donald Trump is, because. You know, in addition to all his other mental abnormalities, you know, if you believe in this type of thing, which you have to learn before, you know, I got into neuroscience because that's science, you know, but you still have to learn everything else. So, you know, there's something called arrested development. And he's got so many issues. I'm paraphrasing. This is why he said, no, whatever, if it's not my way, that's it. That's it. You know, he just shut down. He shut down. So, before that, Nancy treated him like she knows he's a child. So
you want to talk about owned, Todd? When she looked at him and said, I suggest you pray over it.
She was gracious, and that's what she had.
Oh, she was gracious, but she burned him to the ground with that, because that man wouldn't, dear me, please help me, my will be done, our me which art in the White House, hallowed be my name, my kingdom come, my will be done. But see, that was a perfectly timed parry, you know, followed by a thrust right between the ribs, because of all those godforsaken little evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian Republicans who, well, I mean, I voted for him because, you know, God didn't make no perfect people. So the fact that he got three baby mamas, and the fact that he's committed adultery on every woman he's ever been married to, and the fact that he lies and he cheats and he steals. Well, like I said, God don't make perfect people, just people that he can forgive. And so that's why I support Donald Trump.
Now,
and she made them eat a big old ice cream scoop full of shit when she told him, you might want to pray on it, Donald. But then again, you know the Washington Journal crowd said, that woman ain't really no Christian. She's Catholic.
You know it.
You can hear it in your head, can't you?
Exactly. That's what they will. But see, and I had to write a note down just because you touched on a couple of things. I would be remiss if I could not bring this up. But yes. This collective delusion that these followers that they suffer from, because the facts are there now. It's indisputable now. The facts are there, and if you don't think they're facts, the data points are there in the fashion of connect the dots, little magazine you get when you're a kid, and it's like, oh, there's a picture. If I just connect all these little dots, and wow, look at that. There's a picture, you know, if they would choose to think. Now, and that's Mueller's strategy, obviously. And, I mean, come on, everybody knows that. You always go from the top man last. And I'm waiting for them to ask Jared Kushner about his back channel, number one. That's one question. And I'm waiting on Rudy Giuliani, because how did he know? You know, what, now that we look back, all this stuff, and Barr Epstein, this is all a bunch of mess.
Well, okay, you mentioned Comey's name, though, and there's something that cannot go unmentioned in that regard. You know, he gave his closed-door testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And in the transcript there, you can find a passage where he explains exactly why he did the disastrous thing he did with regard to Hillary Clinton in the fall of 2018 or 2016. He explains very patiently, and you reminded me of this when you mentioned Rudy,
mm-hmm.
that apparently the FBI field office in New York City was leaking, it was leaking like an old patch tire, leaking through the hole, leaking around the rim, leaking at the stem, just leaks.
But he told us Rudy told us it was.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm not dreaming this shit, and of course, I'm not cutting you off too much, but come on, man. These people are trying to gaslight us. Everyone who's paying attention knows the FBI has always leaned right and white and Republican, period. Even the black folks in the FBI, most of them are Republicans. That's just the way it's always been.
Even most of the black folks in the FBI are white.
There you go. So, all right, let's clear the air on that. Let's get that shit fucking straight.
But the fact that James Comey confirmed Rudy Giuliani, and the fact that there was a palace coup trying to gin itself up inside the FBI field office, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
and every word of it was being fed back to the Trump campaign. And so, for instance, just a question for us to ask ourselves. You mentioned earlier the fact that Chinless Mitch wouldn't sign on to a statement that the Russians were meddling in our election process.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of ask why not, and I said, well, money. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. All of the statement that Barack Obama wanted to issue and that Chinless Mitch told him, no, you can't, you're too black for that. black, I'm sorry, Mr. President, black presidents aren't allowed to do that sort of thing. It ain't doing. But here's the thing. One may presume that the upper levels of the FBI New York field office were aware of it, too, because the FBI knew it, the CIA knew it, the DIA knew it, every intelligence agency in the United States knew that we were being fucked with. And if the New York field office knew it, then Rudy knew it, and that means Trump knew it.
Wow.
Connect the damn dots.
Well, of course that's what we believe. Now, right. Let me slow down. I'm not going to be
Yeah, don't make Tracy send you a note telling you to breathe, okay?
She is helping tremendously. That's all I can say. With that, yes, absolutely. And, So this is what is so shocking to me, that how quickly people have been stupefied. I mean, do they not understand who J. Edgar Hoover was? Do they not understand how this organization has always operated? And first of all, and then second of all, we had dumbass Giuliani telling us. See, you know, there's a lot going on here. I mean, let's look back. Now, for Christian folk, including you, we all know what the snake story is.
Well, yes.
Now,
careful about accusing me of being a Christian, though. I mean, we're friends, Todd.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. I know, man. I shouldn't say that. I really mean that because, you know, it's funny. It's so, well, here's ironic. Ironic, you know, ironic, right? So, you know Christianity better than the quote-unquote Christian, and that's a funny thing. But, you know, Trump told a snake story in excess of two times. I'm thinking three, at least. But I know for a fact at least twice. And that was after he became cocky. And you know, it's just everything's just adding up. It's just, I mean, all our suspicions and all these documentaries from Holland and, you know, all this peripheral independent reporting. You know, and think about the old guy I used to read all the time. He used to write for the Inquirer. I can't recall his name. He has a beard, salt and pepper beard, and he's been on Trump for 30 years.
You're talking about David K. Johnston?
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, and he just smiles because he knows what he's talking about. You know. And so, you know, so here we are now, and these folks are never going to believe the truth, no matter what, because of the era that we're in with the social media. And they're not sophisticated enough to understand that they've been hoodwinked, and they don't care. They just don't care. They want what they want. Just like Trump, he wants what he wants. And we're back to that projection thing. And let me bring this up. Did you hear... the president, our president, okay, described Rex Tillerson. I thought he was talking about himself.
Oh, you mean as a very poor intelligence?
Yeah. You know, the projection in the Republican Party, it's like they're suffering from some type of group delusion, because they really all are engaged in this projection. From the Supreme Court on down, everything. It's just amazing. But he called Tillerson dumb as a rock, lazy, What else did he call? I had it written down. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Because last week, Tillerson gave an interview to Bob Schieffer at an event in Houston, and he kind of laid out he didn't call him a fucking idiot like he did before, but he said so in as many words, or in right. as not as many words. And, of course, Julius Geezer got wind of it. No, he's the stupid one. See, this is what a child this septuagenarian monstrosity is. His only retort to being dissed, if you will, is to repeat the diss back. I mean, it's as if he was... what's that game? The Yo Mama So Ugly...
The Dozens.
The Dozens, yeah. It's as if he's playing the Dozens and somebody says, "Your mama's so ugly, she got to put a pork chop around her neck to get the dog to play with her." And Trump responds, "No, no, your mama's so ugly she has to put a pork chop around her neck to get the dog to play with her." That's not how the game is played.
No. No.
And right. No, I'm not the stupid one. He's the stupid one. Poop!
Bob. Thank you so much. That's why you're the host. You see, you brought me right back to the reason I called, the reason we're talking. That disgusting. Man, this is everyone in the world. Everyone, and this is the real Donald Trump right now. He's incompetent. He's ignorant. He can't think on his feet. He can't cut a deal. He just admitted, okay, I will shut because I want to shut the government down. That's right. No matter what you do. And they were like, we were trying to be, Pelosi and Schumer were trying to be gracious. They gave him an out. They gave him two or three outs. Like, Mr. President, well, you know, maybe we don't want to discuss this in public. Like, I was like, thank God. And then, of course, Nancy's trying to gently guide him back to civility. In terms of like, look, we're in the Oval Office. We are not supposed to be discussing this in public. Are you a fucking dumbass? You fucking dumbass. You know, but she, now look, if there's, like you said, I'm with you 100%. 100%. Listen, that is why that person, that woman has to be. There's no question. Now, what is going to happen in the future? Now, we know Donald Trump does not respect or like women. We know he's a sociopath. We know, and that means he's a leech, a user, a manipulator. And see, he's on the far end of this spectrum. You know, and there's a body of research that shows that, quote-unquote, successful businessmen, many of them have sociopathic tendencies because it makes you a ruthless businessman. That makes sense. You know, like that show Shameless. Frank, man, he's a sociopath. That's textbook. Except that he's not prone to delusions that I have seen. Maybe he is. I haven't really seen too many episodes where he's prone to delusions, but I have seen Donald Trump prone to delusions. As a matter of fact, let's remember after the inauguration, he insisted his crowd size was larger to the point where if you've ever given a presentation, you have graphs and charts that you have to present or photographs. You get a Kinko's or wherever, and you get them printed up on this nice light poster board. Is wonderful, and it's sharp and tight. He did that, and it was still smaller, but he had it up in his office because he's a fucking sociopath.
Really, this isn't me being cute. Don't discount the fact that he's an idiot.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. It's not just that. But see, this is what I know he's an idiot, but I'm just saying that this is something that I mean, it's like, see, I don't know if you know this, but see, this is the crowd that I travel in. It's not just me. Like, I'm around some MD, PhDs, social workers, because what a lot of people think of as psychiatry, social workers do that now. Because, you know, that psychotherapy stuff, that's, you know, it's nice. So, you know, social workers do that. I'm not degrading social workers. They do great work. I'm just saying it's different than what most people think. But this is what we saw, the display. See, so imagine what he's like when he's doing negotiations, because he wants to do everything one-on-one with these foreign leaders. And this wall shit, you have to, let's put, he's very predictable. That's the whole thing about psychology, is prediction. You can say this and that and make these speculations. Okay, so if you want to back it up, what you do is that, okay, you manipulate the variables. Okay, if I think this individual, this subject displays these types of behaviors, okay, so I'm going to manipulate these variables, see if I can induce or reduce a certain type of behavior. So we can see that he's motivated by prestige, money. That's mostly what he's motivated by, you know, his appearance, how he's perceived. Okay. Now, he can't stand it. He cannot stand it when he's slighted in public. That's the whole, you know, you remember the, I'm going back too far. Never mind. You know what I'm going to. Is the,
pick one.
When Obama made fun of him.
Oh, sure. There's been a compelling argument made that that's why we have Donald Trump.
That's what I was about to say. See, that set him off. Then he was on a tear. You see, then he was on a tear. And it's okay. I know where I got off on this tirade. See, it's not just one thing. And remember, he doesn't like to read. Now, I suspect that, you know, I suspect that he has some type of learning disability, like maybe dyslexia. There's something going on where he really doesn't. He can't. We all understand he has a no attention span. I mean, a lot of people don't. But you know, you work through it. You learn. But at his age, he should have learned that by now. Now, is he abusing? Is he abusing Adderall and Ritalin? I mean, what's going on? Because he definitely is showing these signs. Something's going on, other than, you know, the sociopathy and the arrested development, which was evident today. He's a child. And look at the words. Remember, we talked about this before. The words he uses, like, well, that leader, I like him. If he doesn't like me, I won't like him.
Yeah. Straight up kindergarten.
Kindergarten. What is that is totally inappropriate language. Why would you even use that language? If you think it, you just don't. That has nothing to do with nothing. You're supposed to be serving the American people. What the fuck? Who gives a fuck if you like him or not? You goddamn dumbass. Not you, Bob. You know.
No, I know.
These are the questions that people should be asking.
I know.
Sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to give us a sense of how knucking futs. This whole scenario is. I've got two things here. Mm-hmm. One, I've got a clip from today. And, you know, from the Oval Office meeting. Okay, this is going to be fairly straightforward.
I won't laugh. I'll be quiet.
And this is, you know, this is where, because like I said, he went into this meeting having called for a government shutdown 20 times, something no president ever does. And by the end of the thing today, he had called for a government shutdown 6 times. So let's check this clip. Won't take but a second, I hope. Okay, so maybe it's not going to happen that way. We'll do it another way. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Quick time.
The one thing I think we can agree on is we shouldn't shut down the government over a dispute. And you want to shut it down. You keep talking about it.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No, no, no.
And then you opened it up very quickly. And
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times, Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
said. You want to know something?
You've said
it. Okay, you want to put that on my...
You've said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I
disagree.
Am proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to...
Okay, so just to keep score here, Todd, he says, I will shut down the government, and I'm proud. And then, along the way, yep. And maybe we can come back to this somehow or another, he says that he will somehow build the wall with the United States military.
I missed that.
Did you not hear that?
You know what?
Hold on. Let's go. Let's play this again, sports fans. Come on.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And I...
Okay, so he says, if we don't get what we want, if you don't do exactly as I want, and the whole idea of using the military, that's a little terrifying. That's a lot terrifying. Okay, so...
Hey, you know what?
So,
I disregarded that.
So let's come back. Let's remember and come back to that. Because now we have to go over to that program on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda called Outnumbered. And an exchange between Harris Faulkner and Melissa Francis. Now, this is just scant minutes after the clip that we all just heard. Then this happens.
All right, so you had the Democrats in the room, and who didn't you want to be? Maybe Vice President Pence, because
right?
it was like watching a tennis match back and forth.
It was.
How do you think your political side did?
I think they stood up to the president quite strongly, which I like in a couple of ways. When the president tried to sort of go back and forth with Nancy Pelosi, they engaged with him. The most important thing I heard from Democrats was when Chuck Schumer said, we have a deal that the Democrats and the Republicans both support to avoid a shutdown. That's why we're here. It's not to fix the immigration system writ large. It's to avoid a shutdown. We can pass it bipartisan manner, get it to your desk today. And the president said, I'll accept the blame. If it's not what I want, it's not what I want. I will shut it down.
That's not what he said.
That is exactly what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
Let me get
in the conversation today.
That's exactly what he said.
You got that? So
wow.
Everybody in this community has just heard the clip of Donald Trump saying, I'll take the blame. I'll shut it down. We'll get what we want, whether we have to use the military or whatever. And you know, we're hours past this event. But in the moments in the moments of its immediacy, these white wing ladies on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, with the exception of the woman who, you know, quoted Trump, he didn't say that. He did not say that. That's not what he said. And she said that's exactly what he said. Jeez.
No,
what he said was that we all want border security. And he said, yes, I'll take a shutdown if you guys will not pass border security. Doesn't everyone want border security?
See, right.
He said, I will take the blame.
That's what the press... Look.
But meanwhile, if you're Emery and Marveline sitting there in your matching Barca loungers down in the trailer park, well, you don't have to actually believe anything that Donald Trump says. Because the pretty blonde ladies on Fox said he didn't say what he said. I mean, this is so Orwellian that it beggars the word. Jesus.
What do you think about your fellow Americans that don't have the wherewithal to tune away from one station and maybe look at something else or listen to something else or read?
Well, I mean, what? They never had a chance. From the first moment that they tuned into Fox News and stayed tuned into Fox News because it stimulated their lizard brains, they were done. Fini. Because it rots your mind. And so we live in a world where the things that a person says aren't actually the things that the person says. And there's a pretty blonde lady to make sure that Emery and Marveline don't run around thinking that the guy said what he said.
And see, that means a lot, what you just said, to a certain segment of this population. Right.
I mean, if you ever wanted the singular clip to demonstrate the propagandistic nature and not journalistic nature of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, that, by God, Todd, is it.
Well, look, you know, this is posing a very interesting problem here. Now, no matter what happens politically, you know, we deal in the factual world. So no matter what happens politically, these folks are entrenched in their way of thinking. All right, they had developed their own reality. And they have followed. This is dangerous. They have, like the guy I talked to up the street. After, you know, I haven't seen him. I haven't looked for him. I haven't seen him. But like I told you, know, last time I saw him, I left him. He was ranting. I left. I was like, I have to go, and I did have to go. And because he was just spouting off this nonsense.
Yeah, that's great. I got to leave. My brain's dying.
Yeah, I mean, it was no. I was not. You know, I don't raise my voice. You know, they have cameras everywhere. They'll call the cops, and that'll be it. You know what I mean? And I told you, he grabbed me one time. He grabbed my arm. I said, man, don't touch me. I said, we can talk, but do not touch me. You know, you can't touch me.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah, fuck that. I ain't playing that. But I don't take no short. These folks are this is what they love. There's a Borg, and it you know, it's confirmation bias. So in other words, what I'm saying is that when all this comes out, these people will still be entrenched in their belief system that the press is leaning left because it's the damn Jews and this and that. You know, it's really ugly. Now I'm gonna tell you something. I still have an old school iPhone that I use to listen to the radio, and I haven't updated it, and it still has WinApp on it, and I can still pull up. I mean,
holy
it's like
cow.
Way back. Yeah, man. I was like, I'm not the man. And you know what's funny? Oh, my God, this is a great story. I don't even remember this. Like, maybe last year, maybe a year and a half ago, Apple got sued because it came out that they had been issuing the updates, and it was messing with people's batteries.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
They had to make you buy a battery, you know. So as soon as that... Because I had this, I don't throw away these old phones. I keep them. So, but I was curious. It had just stopped working years ago, but I didn't throw it out. There was nothing wrong with it. It had a nice Gorilla case on it and everything, you know, an old one. And I had it charged up for 2 days, start working fine. It's like a hub. You know, I use it like a hub. You know, because now I guess it got, I can't say it got the update, but it's weird how that it just came back working. Oh God, I actually forgot where I started with this.
Happens, don't worry about it.
Anyway, it had to do with something. But so on the WinApp, yeah, because old WinApp, you know, because I used to run that when it first came out, you know, it was great. Got the radio function, you know, in the halcyon days of the internet.
The halcyon days,
so,
yes.
Alex Jones is just right. So when you go to search for talk, you know, top 10 talk stations, it's still up there. And I can't ever forget when I saw Alex Jones and Roger Stone storming on the Young Turks' set. And, I mean, they were geeked up. They were high as shit. They were cranked up. Alex Jones was doing that jaw thing. You know, you start gnawing your jaw when you're kind of speeding or whatever, you know.
Chewing the air gum.
Right, right. He and Roger Stone, they were just wandering around. You could tell they had just, man, they just had some good liquor, and they were getting cut. I mean, you could just tell. It was obvious. It was so obvious. I don't know. The YouTube is out there.
Oh, I've seen it. It struck me as a little bit of street theater.
All right. Well, I'm asking you. Did they look like they were not under the influence?
Oh, no. They were lit. I think Alex Jones was probably wasted out of his mind on chocolate chicken bone paleo malt chocolate chicken bone beverage.
Oh boy!
You know, a little gin in that, and you'll go where you'll get where you need to be going.
You'll get there. All right, so. I'd like to go back maybe where we started with this. Hours have been ticking, and I love The Hill because The Hill updates. And you know what? I trust The Hill because they let everybody post stuff. They let even the far right-wing people post shit on The Hill.
Well, The Hill yeah. is more right-wing than left.
I believe that because there's an editorial. But they let this guy an editorial. His last name starts with an O. I'm not going to say his name. And I mean, he is so entrenched. Like whenever they talk about the Steele dossier, they always forget to add that it was initiated by the Republicans. You know, and they don't give the background. Like, well, private investigators—that's what he was basically, because he was working on his own. You know, you have a file. If somebody wants to pick up the file, then they get business. You know, that's the way it works. But so what we saw today was Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she was sharp as a cat. That woman is going to string this asshole up. And I don't know what he's thinking about. He's got no, his shit's fucked up, man. I mean, let me say this. Why wouldn't, let me ask you a question, why wouldn't Bob Mueller already have Trump's text?
Well, look, there are sealed indictments. And they're sitting in a file cabinet in D.C. And they won't be unsealed until Mueller wants them unsealed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if... And remember the stuff with Cohen and the payoff to Stormy Daniels, shit, that is independent of Robert Mueller. That continues even if he cans Robert Mueller. And that's two and probably four felonies against Trump. Now, you've got guilty pleas from Michael Cohen, but we do not know whether there has been an indictment. See, and this goes back to that discussion about can you indict a sitting president, which I find ludicrous. You can have an indictment and keep it sealed till the man is no longer in office, and then you unseal it. That's why I say that more and more his only alternative is looking like the Nixon option,
because he's got to resign.
Because again. If he rolls the dice in 2020 and loses, and that indictment gets unsealed, his septuagenarian ass is going to the Gray Bar Hotel.
Woo! Bob, he's fucked. You know what? Mueller has him boxed in. I mean, we already knew that the states were going to pick up. I mean, we learned that, right?
I mean, you know, how fried out of your head do you have to be? There is no smoking gun. No smoking gun. You know, he didn't just type it once. He typed it twice.
Listen, this shit is accelerating. Tomorrow, like you said, tomorrow morning is going to be, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Every night I shut this program down, and once I'm done with the uploads and everything, and I get to walk out of the studio... I go in and Agnes and I jump under the covers and watch TV or whatever we're going to do. And I look at her and go, I got no fucking idea what's going to happen by morning. And so that's part of why I have the dirty little habit that I have of turning on that right wing program on MSNBC in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least I've got a fighting chance of knowing what's coming at me. For the rest of the day. Today, though, today was just, Today was from somewhere. Today was from the WWF, okay, or the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment.
I saw it today.
There was no reason for Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to be in that office except for the fact that the president told them to be there, and they said yes, sir, because that's the way the country's supposed to work. And then he tried to use them as, go watch everybody. Go watch the whole goddamn thing and then go and watch a segment of wrestling and see if it's not the same thing. Because it is.
I could not believe that is our, that's supposed to be the pinnacle of what we have for our government. You know, the only thing that was missing was a representative from the Supreme Court. Because, you know, that really...
Well, I mean, ask yourself.
Maybe a couple other people.
Why wasn't Chinless Mitch there?
Because that motherfucker is scared shitless.
No, because he didn't... Because Mitch had nothing to... This was about a grant... This was about Trump's self-aggrandizement, okay?
Well, he didn't have to be there, obviously. Yeah,
I mean, what? Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, whom he afforded absolutely zero respect, by the way, and constantly cut off Nancy, the woman.
Well, he summoned them there because he thought he was going to make himself look good in front of, you know,
right.
Better than that.
Because
he was going to dress them down for his base because he thinks he's so damn bright and better than everyone else, but he's a fucking ignorant dumbass. And they don't even understand how the goddamn process works.
And you know, they looked at him and said, hey, you know, you've got the House, you've got the Senate, you've got the presidency. Go do whatever it is you want to do.
Do it, Nancy. Look, man, Nancy told him no. And look, you don't fuck with Nancy. When she says no, you don't have to vote. You better listen to it. She's been doing that longer than you've been shitting, motherfucker.
Well, she can count into the hundreds. He can't count past 20 without dropping trowel and getting out a magnifying glass.
Man,
there's that old joke. How does Donald Trump count to 6? Or how does Donald Trump count to 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, another.
Tremendous.
But we can't come away from all this without noting that it was theater.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Pelosi and Senator Schumer showed up out of respect for the office, if not for the man. If George W. Bush had called them, they would have gone. If George H.W. Bush had called them, they would have gone. If Bill Clinton had called them, they would have gone. If Barack Obama had called them, they would have gone. And Trump called them, and they went. But the thing is, the two people who can actually shepherd legislation through the Congress, namely Chinless Mitch and Eddie Munster, weren't there. And they remain the leaders of this Congress during the pendency in which we await this government shutdown.
Well, you know, in a way, Mitch McConnell is a de facto leader of this country. He has
he's a law unto himself, as I've been arguing. There's nobody who can make Mitch McConnell do anything that Mitch McConnell does not want to do. The Supreme Court can't do it. The president can't do it. The members of his own caucus won't do it. I mean, we talk about Trump being able to murder people in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue and get away with it. The one who can really do that is Chinless Mitch, because he faces no threat from his constituency, because they're a bunch of racists anyway,
mm-hmm.
White Republican Kentucky voters. So they'll just keep. He's got to run for re-election in 20. And he knows he's in. He knows he's safe.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no Beto O'Rourke going to challenge him in Kentucky. The most you could hope for would maybe be Ashley Judd. And the last time she tried to make his life miserable, he went to a meeting of coal thugs, and they had a life-size cutout of her, just like that scene from Major League. Remember the with Charlie Sheen and all that? They had a cutout of her where they undressed her down to naked and guffawed at her naked body. You know, that's a Kentucky Republican. So he is the only thing that challenges Mitch McConnell is the same thing that challenges every human being ever born on this planet, and that's simple mortality. But he is beyond the pale of the Constitution unless something can be proven against him in the course of all of this NRA business, primarily with the Russians. And that is why he is doing everything that he does. Now, if you want to go back to the Obama administration, he did that out of pure, unmitigated White Citizens Council racism.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because you've got an Asian wife doesn't mean you're not a fucking racist.
Oh, are you kidding? That's some of the worst.
We'll wrap up. We'll wrap up real quick, and we'll maybe get some more people on here. But I did want to tell you that the pork, this pork loin method is delicious. Oh man, I thought of you over the weekend. Sunday was a great day for barbecue, and as far as dead of winter, well, I mean, not even winter yet, but it was a great day. It was about 35 degrees, no wind, so it wasn't biting or anything. And, because I can screw up a pork loin on that smoker in a real hurry. It's hard to keep them juicy because there's not a lot of fat to work with there.
No. They like low heat.
But we, for all intents and purposes, we spatchcocked a pork loin.
Oh.
Cut it, folded it one way. Cut it back the other way, folded it that way too, dropped the whole thing in a brine that was seasoned with cinnamon and allspice and nutmeg and clove and orange peel and ginger. Left it there for about 24 hours, took it out. Meanwhile, I had soaked some figs and some prunes and some apricots in brandy. Poured off the brandy, and it's pretty special, I got to tell you.
That's good for the cold nights.
And then I know how much you love Dubliner.
Yeah.
So I shredded a block of Dubliner.
Damn!
And put that on, then laid on the rehydrated, boozed-up fruit. And then and then laid on slices of brie.
Shit.
And rolled that sucker. Got some butcher's twine from the meat cutter up at the Wiggling Pig. He's a nice guy.
And, oh my God!
And tied the whole roast, you know, with the butcher's knot and all of that stuff. Smoked it over about 220 for about 3 hours. Just let the hickory pour to it. No, it wasn't hickory. It was apple. Let the apple pour to it. Took it off. Put it in a double thickness of aluminum foil. Splashed a little bit of brandy and a little bit of apple juice in there. Just folded it up tight and sealed it down. Put it back on for another hour. And took it off. And it, Todd, was candy. I was amazed. Not a damn bit of it dried out. It was moist and tender and juicy. And Randy just wrote in and said, "Where was the garlic, Bob?" No garlic in this. No. We were going for those holiday spices and all that fruit and yeah. I guess the ginger was doing the job of the garlic in this case.
This is almost like a meat fruit roll. a meat fruitcake. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, I was thinking of it as a porcine bouche de Noël.
Well, you know,
or a pork Yule log.
Right, right.
Of course, the Germans would have just recognized it as Huladen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I can just visualize the cheese. Oh, the contrast.
Hey, but it's a pocket fisherman. It's a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more.
Oh shit!
Because I took some of that fruit. I took some of that fruited brandy, and some cream, and made a cream sauce to go over it. A brandied cream sauce.
You know what? The world could end after that. Everything will be okay. You know what? It'll be okay. Trump can have his war and blow everybody up. But once you've had that, you know, hey.
I was pleased. And you should have seen the look on Agnes's face. She took one bite and said, "Oh, Bob, this is beautiful. I thought what you'd done before was the best you've ever done. This is the best you've ever done."
Uh-oh. And see, you don't say it often.
No.
Don't say that often.
No. She knows better than to let me get the big head.
You know what? When you cook for the woman you love, it they never forget it, and they always love it, and it's a wonderful thing. And they'll tell you, you know, it's wonderful for a lot of reasons that obviously the whole family can understand because we're progressive. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's up. That's a beautiful thing.
I mean, that would be this time of year. That would be gorgeous on any holiday table.
Mm. Oh, and you could have some mulled cider with that.
Oh yeah, yeah, or there's some German Glühwein.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, you got me wanting. You know, when you said spatchcock, I was like, uh oh, he's gonna roll. He's gonna stuff this sucker. And he's gonna roll it.
It was like a big old pork doobie.
Well, I can say, you know what? How's your cook station coming? Are you making a platform?
Not yet. That's going to have to wait till spring, because everything has to happen outside.
Okay. I was just curious, you're getting your use out of your acorn? That's for sure.
Oh yeah, and I don't know how many more years I got on it, but we'll find another one. But it's the only places it's really going bad are down in the ash pan.
Really?
Yeah. Otherwise it's holding up pretty good. Now I think there's some degradation going on down where the lower fire grate lays against the internal the cauldron, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe you can pack it with some stone, like brick. Maybe you can put some brick around it or something like that.
I got a feeling you can order pieces a la carte. I really would.
Oh, I'm sure.
But by next summer, I gotta have my full on griddle.
Yeah, you gotta saute some onions and peppers outside.
Yep, bingo. You know it. Here we go.
You know what's going. Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for making it, man. Don't ever say that around here. No, that's what you say with other people that make you feel like it's a privilege. No, the privilege is all mine, Todd.
Oh, you're so gracious, man. I appreciate it. I'll be quiet.
One of these days, you know, Steve from Georgia Stan keeps saying we got to have a horn in. He wants to have a horn in up here. Some quality barbecue time would be a hell of a lot of fun, Todd.
Woo!
You, me, Brother Deacon Asa, three acorns. Three men walk in, only one walks out.
Octagon. The Acorn Octagon, coming to a theater near you. Smell-o-vision.
Damn straight.
Listen, did you get any snow?
Oh, fuck yes.
Because they said Mount Mitchell had 34 inches. That's the report we got.
Yeah, they got 30. Here. Of course, that's 6,000 feet in North Carolina. But we were on the northern edge of it up here. And so we got about maybe 4 inches or so. Beckley got a freaking foot.
Damn.
Wow. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. I mean, we didn't have the power outages and stuff. Knock wood.
So how did you get 4 inches and Beckley got a foot? The mountain?
It's the mountains, and it was that's you know, there was that line, that northern line, and you know, people north of us didn't get shit.
You know, it was very, very
welcome to climate change.
Delineated. No, but it happened here because like literally like 10 or 15 miles above me, they got snow. We didn't get any, but then west of us, I was on the road and it was freezing rain and snow. And I mean, it was a very sharp line, almost like, you know, when you go up a mountain, there's a snow line. And it's like within, 30 feet sometimes, there'll be snow and no snow.
You know, the last time we talked, I was talking about driving down, you know, from Asheville down to Atlanta, that I-26 segment here. One of the things I neglected to mention that kind of blew my mind is, you know, you confirmed for me, I was in the South Carolina upcountry, but I kept driving past these exits where there'd be gas stations. And where there'd be a sign, the signage was just gone. And I was like, what, they go out of business? And then it dawned on me, no, there hasn't been a wholesale economic collapse through here. Those are signs that got blown away when Florence came ashore.
Yep.
That's how far those winds extended. I mean, we're talking about over in Lexington and Greenville and shit like that. And, you know, like a big, you know, Flying J truck stop, only it ain't got no Flying J truck stop sign anymore.
Oh, no, there's a tall sign, too. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because the plastic sign part was gone, and it just it just exposed the fluorescent bulbs inside.
Oh, man.
And it's still that way this long after.
Well, that's why I keep complaining. I mean, right. It's in the paper, you know, every day. We're still getting, as a matter of fact, the governor just got reappropriation from the federal government. That's the wrong word. The federal government just released more funds for Florence reconstruction. We're still not the same. I still have mildew on the side of my house. You know, we're still trying to get the mildew off, and it keeps raining. It's going to rain again Friday.
Yeah, you got to have a few dry days and a whole lot of bleach in the pressure sprayer. Meanwhile, Darlene tells us dry as a bone in Connecticut, and that's saying something. Wish I could give California our rain. We've been waterlogged here. And meanwhile, you know, over in Poland, the United States, the Saudis, the Russians, and the Kuwaitis. Put the kibosh on that report that said, you know, to quote our buddy Scott, we're all screwed, Bob.
Well, and what was someone saying? Poland likes coal. So.
They are the second leading coal fossil fuel user in Europe behind Germany.
That's interesting. You know, and I know, I really like other people to call in, but I'm not going to take up all your time. However, I have one question. When you were headed south on I-26 outside of Spartanburg, did you notice that nice kind of moderate-sized solar farm on the right hand?
Yes, I did. In fact, my little... I was like, look at that down here in South Carolina. I guess solar works down here.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. Upstate, Greenville, Spartanburg, they got the good bud, they got the good moonshine, they have, it's progressive up there, man. You head toward Asheville, you know.
You might find this interesting, one of the largest purveyors, one of the largest utilities in the country, Xcel Energy, recently had a bit of an epiphany. Those are handy this time of year. They realized and they announced that, by George, they had figured out something. They have figured out it is cheaper for them to, let's see, how do they put it? It's cheaper for them to deploy more wind and solar and battery storage technology than it is for them. Let's see. Xcel Energy says building new wind farms with battery storage is now cheaper than running existing coal plants.
That's not what the president says, though.
Well, but see, the people at XL Energy actually have to run a corporation. They can't just bankrupt and run, bankrupt it like a busted casino and run away.
Oh, because they're real business people.
Yes. XL Energy is Colorado's largest utility, and they made an announcement that they would go carbon-free. They did so at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. XL Energy CEO Ben Falk said, "This risk of climate change isn't going away, and we want to be the company that does something about it and hopefully inspire others to do something about it, too." And at present, right now, not sometime in the future, right now, they can buy new renewable power plants and spend less money than it would, than it costs them to operate the coal plants that they already have.
See, that's frustrating, isn't it? That should be the end of this bullshit coal, because it's not just the air. You know, it lets the mercury out into the water. This is why people can't. The same people who say, "I love coal," they're the same ones who want to get out on their bath boat and eat that fucking poison fish and make their kids stupid.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jared Polis, who got elected governor in Colorado, he showed up at the event, and he said, "One of the great things about this transition is it will create tens of thousands of good green jobs that will never be outsourced."
Mm.
And then he added, "That's not only about carbon, it's also about cleaner air, which means people will be healthier. We are showing the country the way." And Colorado is a coal state, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
But Colorado is also not a mono economy. And Colorado has, of course, legal cannabis.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why it is so hard for the industrialists, the capitalists, to say, "Okay, we see it. All right, we have drained America as much as we can. We've sucked all the blood out of them we can ever since the early 80s, and you know they haven't given back. And why can't every community, like, that can, you know, have a solar power plant?"
Well, I mean, why wouldn't capitalism look at the sun and say, "Hey, that sucker's not burning out for 4 billion years. There's a lot of money in that."
There's a reason the ancient cultures worship the sun. We wouldn't have shit without the sun. Ra. You ever heard of Ra? I mean, there's a reason that Jesus has a halo around his head. That came from the Egyptians. That's Ra. That's the sun god. We're supposed to be worshiping the sun. I mean, my God, we wouldn't be here. We're all star children. That's it. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, if you believe in God or whatever, the universe, the Gaia, you know,
yep,
this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's like you can get with this, you can get with that. You can make choice A, choice B. Choice A is the right choice. Choice B is the wrong choice. We keep making the wrong choice. Choice B. All right, man.
There we go. Hey, Todd, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Sorry. All right, man. I'll see you later.
Oh, man, we'll don't apologize. Don't apologize. It's been a great conversation. They always are.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Later, man. Somebody, Todd from South Carolina, Stan. And hey, thanks going out to Scott in Wisconsin. Scott answered Charlene's challenge, and that means we are down to 4:25 to go to get it, to come even with everything we're missing, or up to this point, 4:25. If we got it down to 385, we would have actually knocked out a full night's funding in one evening. So thank you, Scott, and thank you, Charlene, for the challenge. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Jack in Shreveport, and thanks very much to just a second here. Thanks very kindly to Steve and little Cletus and Miss Karen. Thanks, one and all. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa said a few minutes ago, "I didn't understand that." Oh, shut up. I didn't say, "Hey, Google." Oh, no. Going back to something I said earlier about trumpansies and what they comprehend, and to your point, no Trumpansie scum that I personally know has ever actually heard Trump say anything. Their opinion of Trump is strictly formed based on the media they consume. You know, like over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, when he says, I'll shut down the government, I'll take the blame. And they said, he didn't say that. Oh, he didn't say that. Nothing to see here. This is not the syphilitic monster you're looking for. Jesus. Last 5 minutes of Saturday's Washington Journal, as transcribed by Steve from Georgistan. Quote, the Second Amendment isn't just for hunting. If you believe liberals try and remove our duly elected president, you better watch out. Yeah. And as Steve says, I found that chilling to the bone. Okay, so we got about a half an hour left in the program, 34 minutes or so. Maybe, just maybe, we can take it down a little ways further and go for that whole one evening's funding. That would be wonderful. Who knows? We'll just wait and see. And over to the stress line, someone has been incredibly patient. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, Jim, how are you, buddy?
All right. I'm just kind of laid out right now, just kind of cruising down the freeway of love in my fake Cadillac after a few pills and stuff
I was going to say, they brought you the good stuff, did they?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is after they removed my Miami from my Limpopo, things were a lot better.
Well, you know, I hate it. I hate it when your Knuten valve gets discombobulated from the flagellate.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, now it's just a lot of PT from now through now and New Year's. And so that's basically it.
Are you still in Morgantown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to know a lot of the people up here. And like I say, a lot, but I mean, the people here are extremely nice.
Oh, it's a great hospital.
Except for one doctor. He's a complete asshole. He came out and told me this afternoon, well, I won't be here tomorrow. I'm not sure how this is taking over. And I just looked at him and I said, well, darling, don't forget to write.
You did, really?
Yeah. You know, nobody intimidates me. Fuck you. Not you, but fuck anybody of them. I don't care.
Yeah, no kidding.
You have no people. You know me for, what, 15 years?
Yep.
And I have been given the title of the most incorrigible human being that walks the planet by you.
Well, I'm just hoping you don't have the doctor's phone number so you can't call and flush the toilet on it, you know, when he answers.
No, well, I've got something better than that. I have a friend of mine who lives in Oakland, and she sent me a box of baby butt whistles. And I opened it up. I thought, what in the hell? And they are a legitimate product. It's not a gag gift.
I'm not sure I want to know how this works, but I guess we gotta have to.
When your kid gets a lot of gas up there and stuff like that, you can use them. It'll tell you how bad the gas is. At least that's what it says on the box. I haven't opened the box.
Please, Jesus, don't let this be real.
It's real. And I've left it out here on the table. It was a light on it so the nurse could see it when she comes in. And she's like, what in the name of God? And I said, I don't think God had anything to do with
it. I'm scared to death to even ask questions about the damn thing. This is the biggest product to be talked about on this program since the Shiny Heiny.
Well, the baby butt whistle, and just up in there.
I mean, does it go zoo?
So, well, I haven't tried one myself. But anyway.
I'm proud to know it, Jim. I'm just proud to know it.
Three nurses have been in here saying, we want to see this thing you got from the West Coast. And I said, here it is. She said, who sent you that? And I said, just a friend of mine in Oakland. And she was thinking about me. So I said, oh, Lord, it's wonderful. But anyway, the gift shop here, they've been super nice. They've got this place all decorated up for Christmas. They really do. They've got a little, like a Christmas tree and balloons and, you know, a bear. I call the bear Murray, and I bought another bear for my good friend Patty, who's watching after Patches. And he's got little Scots things on him. I'm going to call him Angus. And some other stuff. Platters and stuff. You know, stuff that people say to you when you're down. Make you feel better. And so that was... Okay. Anyway, basically, that was it. But I think the butt whistle was the best thing I've ever seen. But I just don't want to open it. Yeah, I just want people to see there and them sit there on my table. And then I might have a nurse that I trust go up and just Xerox the box. Well, and send it out to a few people I know. But anyway, I just wanted to depart from cooking. I swear, you and Todd got going there so much, I thought most of y'all were going to have some type of orgasm, and you'd be chasing people around the house after you got off the phone.
Let's save people from the visuals, Jim, please. I mean, we've already got them pondering butt whistles. So, you know, don't load up.
And then what now?
I said, let's not push it over the edge. You already got people worked up with the butt whistle.
You know, I just thought maybe the way y'all were going about all these sizes and how you were marinating this and marinating that. And, I mean, you really got into it. I mean, you got into that voice of yours only. That type of that thing can get you into it. And, of course, Todd was there. You were both like Tucker Puddle music, you know. Ooh, I mean, somebody were picking up the phone and said, well, these guys talking about cooking or what?
Well, that it, you knew sooner or later, somebody was bound to the Horn Ad Hoc Community Research Department was bound to go out and there it is, baby products we can't believe exist. The baby butt whistle.
Well, yeah, for instance, yeah, and I read on the directions, and it's, you know, it's what you use it for, I told you. But, you know, Joey, departing from that, I watched that business in the White House this afternoon, and the Donald was just, I mean, he was just,
you know, you're not gonna believe me when I say this, but as I saw some of it, I actually thought of you because something immediately came to mind. This looks like something that John Waters refused to put on film.
What's that? Oh, you mean the
thing that's happening? Yeah, it more and more Donald Trump resembles a character from a John Waters movie.
John Waters wouldn't have him in a movie because. Well, I don't know who he'd be, but I mean, the Donald was sitting up there just, I don't know, it was just like a little child stomping his foot, and Nancy Pelosi just looked at him and she was calm and collected, and she said, I'll pray for you, or worse to that effect. He just got to have that wall. I don't know what is this thing he has about walls?
Somewhere along the way, probably via Jared, somebody told him how awesome the wall they built in Israel was.
Is that it?
And he,
that'd work great with the Mexicans because they're almost Palestinians anyway.
Well, maybe he can have, like, crenellation in it, like the one that Saddam was trying to build around reconstructed Babylon or something like that. And maybe he can really make it a real artsy-fartsy thing. Too bad Diego Rivera's dead. He could put a mural on it, but I don't think he'd care to.
Well, see, that's the thing. Since it has to be built on the American side, I was kind of, I mean, if you're going to... It probably could have been very interestingly decorated like the Berlin Wall was.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. If he's got to have it, and he needs $5 million for it, well, now he's already got four that's been appropriated, correct?
Right, but as Nancy Pelosi pointed out, he hasn't even spent it.
Well, he's just got to have his little way. Good Lord, heaven, I tell you, he's wonderful.
And just the outright lies about the 10 terrorists being caught at the border and how they've already built big sections of it. And it's just a lie. But the maggots LARP it up like kitties in cream.
You know, I'm going to send him some butt whistles, too. I've got the address where you can get those things in California, and I'm going to send a bunch of people out there I don't like. And, you know, maybe they could make some sense for a change if they put them in.
God, I might. Well, you know, with him, he'd probably walk around and it'd wind up being, Jesus, the Ode to Joy or something.
I definitely was going to say my sister was. She won't even call up, I don't think. Her son might and say, you know, my mother thinks that you're just beyond sick.
The details are blowing in. Matt in San Francisco tells me, I've already gotten a look at it. Don in West Tennessee sent me the link, but it's called the Windy. It's a great product made. It's a great product made by the same company that makes the Nose Frida. That product you can stick one end of the tube in a baby's nose and suck on the other end in order to clear the nose. Don't worry, it has a filter, so Mama won't get any baby snot in her mouth. It's nicknamed the Snot Sucker.
Yeah, and you can also put it elsewhere too. There's a tougher one that has that.
Yeah.
Well, why not? You know, better things through better living through ingenuity, right?
Yeah. Well, it beats the hell out of better living through chemistry.
I know a lot of people who would sound a lot better if they put one up their rear end instead of talking with their mouth. You know?
Well, the President of the United States comes immediately to mind, but I'm funny.
Yeah, I was thinking about Donald, too. Him now. You know, another thought.
Harpo Marx had that big old bicycle horn. You know, Trump could have the, well, you know.
I know it. I was sitting
Wait. Oh, you've got me working it now, Jim. And then he really would tweet.
Uh-huh. It was. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm.
There's got air going through it.
By the way, you just got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. She said it's wonderful hearing Jim laugh. It's truly the best medicine.
It is. I was sitting
thank
here
you,
in
the Darlene.
Afternoon. Thank you, too, Darlene. I appreciate that. I spent most of the morning listening to Gregorian Cats, just kind of trying to let my mind unwind, you know.
Yeah, that was the morning, and then along comes the Jesus.
Don't forget, I had to go to PT.
Oh, well,
yeah. Which always plates up with my legs. And I'll tell you, when they've got you on like a 45-degree incline board and you've got to push something 200-pound weights up with your legs, I guarantee you, it'll make you think about your gastrocnemius.
I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not gonna argue that point with you, Jim. No doubt. Hey, let me interrupt just for a minute because I just got a lovely note in from Robert in Australia who wishes you well.
Thank you.
Robert put a $100 challenge on the table, hoping hoping to see it met by 9 p.m., which is 20 minutes from now. So we got 20 minutes to find $100 in challenge money, 10 people at 10 bucks, et cetera, that sort of thing. Thank you, Robert, so very much. And that would be monumental because that would get us down to $225 to go here on Tuesday, and that would go a long way toward catching up. So there it is. There's $100 in challenge on the table, courtesy of Robert in Australia. So thank you, Robert, and hopefully that will be met. But we were running out of time, and I wanted to get that opportunity out there for folks. So that they might be able to respond, but Jim, not to get too personal or anything, are they saying? So you're doing physical therapy? You're coming along?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been pretty rough. But I mean, you know, you just kind of take it. You got to take it as it comes. You don't have much choice. And I've been through worse things, you know? So, I mean, I've kind of, you know, have to steel yourself to what's next and try to accept most with equanimity and try to laugh anytime you can. Like when that asshole doctor came in tonight, oh, he was such a turd. And he, I won't be, anyway, he was talking, aren't you? And I said, well, good. I said, don't forget to write down. He just looked at me like I was crazy.
Right, if you find honest work.
Well, listen, you got other callers that need to talk to you, I'm sure.
Well, I did want to let you know, because I don't recall if we've talked since then, but, you know, we Agnes and I went down to Atlanta a little over a week ago, and on the way down, we drove
down. How was that?
Oh, it was magnificent. It was wonderful. What a great gathering of wonderful people. Just a delightful time. Were it not for the fact that it poured the rain, it could not have been any better. The barbecue was fantastic, if I do say so myself. And but on the way down there, we took the route from, like I was telling Todd, from Asheville down through Greenville and Lexington and all of that, and as we passed through your natal state, and in particular, Agnes remembered you well.
Well, good. I hope y'all maybe could have passed through some of the places we talked about maybe another time. Tell me, how many people came? Were there a good crowd?
Oh, there was about, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of room. Space as far as the living arrangements were concerned. So I think there were about 30 of us.
I thought about 30. And so the book was well-received, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and Mike read from it every evening and in the mornings, and just amazing tales of a fascinating life.
Well, I dare say he certainly had one, that's for sure.
Oh, there is no doubt about it.
I'm very happy that y'all had a real nice clam bake and everybody had a real good time.
Well, that's pretty country up there in the North Georgia Mountains. It really, really is.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You ever been to Helen?
Not to Helen, but I can't remember the town that I've been through. I can't, it's been so long ago. I used to travel in Georgia a good bit because I had friends down there, and we used to go to Atlanta a lot, and to concerts. This was like 30 or 40 years ago.
Going to see a show at the Fabulous Fox?
Well, the Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom, and let's see. There was some bar down there, I can't remember the name of it, it was just crazy. And they had all kinds of delights in Atlanta back then in the 70s and 80s. But I remember one concert where we went to see the Cubes. Like fools, we left at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, got into Atlanta about 6, saw the Cubes till midnight, and then came back and went to work the next day. I can't believe we did that.
That's
only
that's,
when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the kind of living that, that is for a younger person. I couldn't do that.
I was like 25. I could no more do that now than I could fly on the moon. And but anyway, it's Georgia's a gorgeous state. It really is. And they, you know, it's a pity the people down there are so screwed up.
Well, I think you know, it's not all the people.
No, not at all.
And the fact that Brian Kemp had to suppress as many votes as he did,
oh, yeah,
in order to get elected, tells you the world about. I mean, the world is changing, and the Republicans are not changing with it. And I like to think of them. Well, that one time I was in Texas, courtesy of Dr. Allen and the Waco Friends of Peace. They had a display there at Baylor because there was a huge paleontological find of a bunch of mammoths, and they had gotten trapped in tar or whatever, and they were just standing there and bellowing until they eventually went bloop, 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 bloop. And that was the end of them. And I kind of like to think of the Republican Party that way. They're making a hell of a lot of noise, but they're not going anywhere, and the world is changing around them, and eventually the last of the tar will go over their heads. It'll be bloop, 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 bloop.
Well, I think this some of the tricks they applied and they tried in Georgia, and this business in North Carolina is just—I mean, it's just so so overtly horrible and dishonest. I mean, they what 900 votes, and what did they do? They just destroyed votes or disposed of votes or whatever. It was so bad that seven of the council on the election said that they would have to, they could not, validate the election. Is that right?
Yeah, it's still up in the air. But the idea of, that's what I was talking about earlier. Why would you have a do-over? Why wouldn't you just let the guy that actually won, except for the cheating, have the office?
Well, that sounds good to me. What was it? There was a committee of seven, and was it 5 out of 7, or was it 7 out of 9, or something like that? It was overwhelming. I mean, the cheating must have been so obvious and so blatant.
Well, apparently everybody and their cousin knew about this guy.
My God. And then somebody got paid $40,000 or something like that to do something, or is that another election?
Well, I mean, the original cheater got paid, and then in turn he paid like family members $75 or $100 a day to go and do the legwork for him.
I see. Okay, and this man is a paragon of virtue himself, right?
No, he's got a fraud bust. But the best part of it all is it was all done in the service of an upstanding, God-fearing Baptist minister, man of God, who stands in the pulpit and says, "Women must submit unto men as Christians do unto the church. Hallelujah, glory." But he wasn't above a little bit of shenanigans in a desperate attempt to get himself elected.
I don't have any use for people like that. You know that.
Oh, I know. And he didn't. He didn't just cheat once. He cheated twice. He cheated to win the primary, and he beat an incumbent. And then he had to cheat again to beat his Democratic challenger.
Well, that surprised me at the least. And this bitch McConnell, I don't know what kind of stranglehold he has on Kentucky. I mean, what he did during the last election with the actress, you mentioned her name.
Ashley Judd, yeah.
Actually, Judd, yeah, she played in that movie about Cole Porter with Kevin Kline. And for him to do something like that, I mean, some of those people down there must have incredibly sick minds. I mean, I know Biden is sick.
Well, what it is he knows that he is untouchable in eastern Kentucky, which is coal country. And that that gives him a base of support upon which to build. And he then leverages bigotry and racism. And in a, I mean, you know, if you've got something like that, you've got an you've got a surefire win year in and year out.
Well, that's true too. But you know, well, I'll put it to you this way: I'm sure he's made a lot of people unhappy, and you know, the Russians aren't the only people who carry umbrellas.
Oh, without a doubt.
No. I mean, that's just a fact. And going back to that Russian girl, she better hope that she doesn't land back at FSB headquarters. Well, I can tell you which way she's going, right down those steps with two officers behind her, and one of them's going to talk her ref, and he's going to blow her head off.
Is the Lubyanka still the tallest building in Moscow?
Yes, sir. Because from its basement, you can see Siberia or eternity.
There we go.
Okay, sir. You take care.
All right,
and
Jim, you be. Don't torment the doctors. Don't torment the staff. Be a good boy.
I'll be a nice. I said, don't forget to ride. I said it like that. I said, don't forget to ride. You know, I put a little humility as like a totem of sorrow into it.
I can hear it. I can hear every molecule, no doubt.
You be good now.
All right, you too. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it. And, you know, just don't give them grief down there in physical therapy. Put on your best Arnold voice and say, I will now do the leg presses.
Now, what I'm going to say is, what I say to you is, I'm going to. What are the first words I ever heard him say? Kill something about killing your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the women.
The lamentations of the women. That's what I thought we were going for.
Take care.
All right, take care, Jim. Be
Thank
well.
You.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You do.
Bye now. It's our buddy Jim calling from up Morgantown way. He sounds a little chipperer and a little perkier with every conversation. And if he's down to giving shit to the doctors, you know he's making real progress. Godspeed, Jim. Godspeed. So we got about 7 minutes left in the program, and again, thanks to Robert for putting that challenge on the table. Hopefully, folks will respond. Much appreciated. Let's see what can we do with about seven more minutes or so. Oh, wait a minute, I know. Let's go back to. Oh, no, wait. We got Scott over on the line. I'm sorry, Scott. I didn't forget about you. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Well, you just saved me from playing a Laura Ingraham clip, and you have the eternal gratitude of the Horn Family Community Congregation in the process.
Oh, there's hooping and hollering all over the known galaxy, I'll bet.
You know it.
You know, thinking back on it, listening to Jim, and he sounds better than ever, but thinking back on it, I think the last time I was on the medicine that they've got Jim on, I had a vivid, fevered vision or dream of the Dodge Plymouth automobile dealers in America gathering to arrange a raffle of a 1957 Catholic church.
What the... You can't, you can't just do that to me.
Well, anybody who's ever been raised Catholic and gone to a fair or a festival knows that the big drawing card is the local Dodge or Plymouth dealer will donate a 1950, a brand new, let's say 1958 Dodge or Plymouth, and chances are a dollar a piece or $3 for $5 to win the car. And I thought the medicine-induced vision was kind of a twist on that. The Dodge Plymouth dealers arranged for the raffle of a 1957 Catholic Church.
Yes, it was lovely.
So I don't know. What can I tell you? Someone has put something in my coffee. Baby, it's cold outside. But
who put the coffee in my coffee?
That's not why I called.
Before we get to why you called, I do have to send out some thanks because Reggie just jumped in on Robert and Australia's challenge, and so we're down to $85 to go. And Reggie said, "Wash my brain in LSD did it for me. Please accept my donation of 15 Banana Republic dollars. Love your work." Thank you, Reggie. Thank you so much. But you know, you just have those moments where you think, you know what, I need. I just need a good spritz, a little brain spritz with the lysergic acid diethylamide, and I think I'll feel all better.
I'm telling you, Bob. If I could find a reputable dealer, and wouldn't get apprehended, because in my wayward youth, I did a few dances with lysergic acid.
How did I know?
Well, I did. I mean, what can I say? And it changed everything. It really did. But I've often wondered.
Well, what did the prophet Bill Hicks say? Peace be upon him. It will squeegee your third eye squeaky clean.
Yeah. That too. I took a final geometry exam, and also a final English exam in high school. Still under the influence from the night before, and I aced the English exam, which I knew I would, but any of the math subjects were not my strong suit, and I still flunked it. But I did a little better. In other words, instead of a 66 on the test, I got like a 68. But what was really
moral victory.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, on a geometry test, there's a lot of diagrams of shapes and things and hypotenuse.
Oh, Jesus, don't I know.
I mean, have you ever tried to do the geometry final exam with the isosceles triangle dancing around on the page?
Will you stay still? Wait. Here it comes.
All right.
Don't be so damned obtuse.
There. And that teacher, by the way, whose name I won't mention.
A geometry pun, and I don't get a goddamn cowbell?
Well, you've got the cowbell, or I can get up and
I can't give one to myself. They have to be awarded externally.
Well, wait a minute. Let me go in here, over here, and get my grandmother's doorbells.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, a little holiday chime for Bob and his obtuse.
Well, you know, it's kind of grim and cold and gray outside and everything, and you just need a you can get a little desperate, I guess, for attention or something. But yeah.
Well, listen, I love giving you all the attention you need.
And by the way, Randy in PA reminds us that's still a D plus, Bob. You're 68.
Well, but that teacher, by the way, a Catholic priest, I might add, showed up on the list that of abusers that was highlighted at the end of the movie Spotlight. And I don't know, he never made a move on me, but apparently he was at least...
This was that one.
Oh, yeah. I won't say his name. But anyway, that's not what I called. I wanted to give you a couple of quick, you and the Horn family, a couple of movie recommendations. And with the talk of LSD, I'll add another one real quick. Last night on Showtime, which I'm subscribing to for about a week, there was a documentary that was done not long ago called Becoming Cary Grant, the actor. And he, before it was illegal, had a doctor who had him do a number
of
LSD sessions, and apparently it changed his third eye got squeaky clean. And it was a pretty good. It's called Becoming Cary Grant, and if you have Showtime, have a look at that. But earlier, when you and Todd were talking, and somebody wrote in and talked about the mindset of Fox viewers and Trump fans, and what implants those ideas, those notions, into their otherwise empty heads, it reminded me of a movie that is still on Amazon Prime from a couple of years ago called The Brainwashing of My Dad.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have. About Fox News?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was quite good, and it will give you some appreciation and insights of just what a grip Fox News has on you know, probably decent people, some of them, but who will sit there, you know, slack-jawed and drooling at their parade of nonsense. For anybody who hasn't seen it, I recommend it.
I join you in the recommendation. It's
And it's a sad movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get the popcorn and expect a laugh riot.
Yeah, and thinking of, let's say, my relative who is, a right winger, almost off the scale. He's so far right he could be left if he goes another couple of steps. But that's how it happens. But the other movie, if you have HBO, it premiered last night for the 10-year anniversary, more or less, of the big financial meltdown in 2008. It's a Vice News special report documentary. It runs about 2 hours. It's called Panic, the Untold Story of the 2008 Financial Crisis. And it's on HBO, and I didn't really get anything much new out of it, but it packaged that whole episode in such a way that you really understood how close we came. And when I say we, I mean the entire financial system on the planet, of going into the fucking drink. So check that out if you have access.
Well, you are just the little ray of sunshine of documentary recommendations this evening.
Well, I am I'm either the Siskel or the Ebert of TV viewing tips.
I think you can be both.
Okay, well, I'll give myself a couple of thumbs up, and I'll be careful with that one thumb because it tends to wander. If you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, don't sit on any whistles.
No. Oh, well, that's the other thing. I am apparently woefully ignorant when it comes to butt whistles. Now, do these things have the capacity, if you had a room full of people performing on them or playing them, if that's indeed what you do with them, can they do harmony and melody and stuff?
Well, see, they're for, that's the thing that I find kind of disturbing. They're for babies. I'm guessing that with adults, you'd probably just wind up shooting them across the room.
Well, you might. But
and as Randy and PA noted, and here we are in the gutter again.
I'm thinking, because earlier when you were talking about Chuck and Nancy and little Donnie in the Oval Office today, and he made a big thing of making it clear what he wanted and when he wanted it. What a short memory he has. Doesn't he recall his own theme song from all those stupid rallies?
You can't always get what you want.
Yeah. But if butt whistles do harmony and melody, I'd like to gather Trump, the Trump family, the cabinet, and all the Republicans in the House and Senate into an auditorium, equip them all with adult-sized butt whistles, and have them perform a lovely rendition of You Can't Always Get What You Want. I think that was...
Oh, now, okay. That was earned.
They would bring back the fucking Gong Show. They'd reanimate Chuck Barris. for that.
Well, see, I've just got this notion that if he gave one to Donald Trump, he'd probably blow himself across the room.
Well, he just
because
might. Because
there's not much. There's a joke that Jim used to tell about two guys who couldn't afford the price of admission at a bordello.
Yeah.
And so they wind up with blow-up dolls.
Oh, no.
And the punchline is something, I need Jim for this, but the punchline is, I don't know, I went to bite mine on the neck, and she farted and flew out the window.
Oh, one more movie that I watched.
Yes, that triggered a movie?
No, but you know how my mind goes. Talking about the Nazi-like tendencies of Trump and his supporters, on Showtime, there's a movie from a couple of years ago called Denial. It's based on a true story, and I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but Rachel Weisz is in it, and Tom Wilkinson, the British actor,
yeah,
and several others.
Tom Huddleston?
But Tom Wilkinson. He was in that George Clooney movie about the fixer at the law firm, Michael somebody, was the title, but it's based on an actual court case in Britain. This Holocaust denier over there by the name of David Irving apparently sued an American author and professor of Holocaust studies. And it had to take place over there because he wanted the benefit of the British libel system laws, the libel laws, okay? Because over in this country, if you're accused of libel, the accuser has to prove the case. But over in Britain, it's the opposite way. The defendant has to prove that they didn't commit libel.
Right.
But anyway, the movie is called Denial. And it was quite gripping and quite scary when you superimpose the events of this trial, I guess, from the 1990s of a Holocaust denier being called out. And you superimpose the mindset of those people with the mindset that's so prevalent today with the neo-Nazis and the skinheads and the red hat wearing morons. But check that out. Light a fire and gather the family around and watch these films and stuff for your own information and edification.
I knew edification was on the way. Scott, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
And don't do it while you're on acid because it'll really freak you the fuck out.
Yeah, and I don't think the whistles are going to help either.
No, they won't. They won't. Now I've got to go online and order me one. Just to test your blown across the room theory.
Well, you know, don't do it in front of any windows. We don't want you going through, you know, any plate glass or anything.
Yeah, and I better lock the cat in the bathroom because she spooks rather easily when it comes to different things.
Yeah, thank you. Different things. Yes, Scott, have a good one, man.
All right. Anyway, Bob, take care.
Later. Bye now. Buddy Scott in San Diego. So. Away we go. $85 of a $100 challenge is on the table if anyone wants to respond overnight. And we'll be back for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, and we got some juicy ones. We got some humdingers. So hopefully the deacons will be getting all rested up this evening. Thanks to all of you for all that you do keeping this program on the air. Thank you so very much this evening to Steve Jack and to Charlene and Scott and to Arthur and to Robert in Australia. Thank you all very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program however you so do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff this evening. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.